Hello there, and welcome to another edition of iWake. This is Tim Chatton here, and today's edition of iWake is once again continuing along our series of interviews where I'm talking to people about the Mac App Store and iCloud. Today's interview goes a little bit further than that with some just random topics along those similar lines. Today we are joined by August Trometer. August is well known for his iPodder X app that predated the iTunes and podcasting integration that they did. And Apple since killed off iPodder X because of the iPod branding and all that kind of stuff. But he is up to, right now, the Yowza app at getyowza.com for mobile coupons, things like that. Very, very awesome iOS developer, Mac developer, and I'm glad that he was able to join me today. So that's going to be our guest today. And once again, you are listening to iWake. It is a daily Apple news podcast. And this week, we're doing a little bit different format where I'm doing some interviews about the Mac App Store and iCloud. So with that said, let's get on today's interview with August. And your background is, it's like a Mac developer, iOS developer. Is that your main gig now or?
Well, sort of my original claim to fame and my very first Mac app was called iPodder X, which was the very first podcasting client.
Yeah, I was actually Googling that. It's is it still for sale, or is that someone that's just stolen your name?
They stole the domain, and you know, we had to give up the name iPodder X because Apple issued a cease and desist.
Oh, and then someone else came along, and yeah, wow.
Yeah, and so somebody else grabbed it, and you know, my biggest fear was I signed this document saying that I would not use that name. I would not sell the software under that name. You know, I would not use the icon, all this other stuff. And, you know, signed it and sent it to Apple, yeah, where I'm sure it's on file somewhere. And, you know, all of a sudden this domain pops up and I'm like, I just know that I'm going to get a nasty letter from them. So I actually contacted Apple Legal to go, hey, by the way, check these guys out, and it's not me.
Yeah, they didn't like the iPod or X name because it had iPod at the opening of it. Is that right?
Yeah. And yeah. You know, I at the same time, I don't know if you remember iPod Lounge, which is now iLounge.
Oh yeah, sure.
You know, they were hit with the same thing, and they actually got to talk on the phone with Steve.
Wow.
And I'm not supposed to know this, but
yeah, sure.
This was them telling, you know, I talked to their CEO at the time because we were all kind of griping about the problem. And, you know, Steve basically told them, he's like, look, you know, we didn't protect the Mac trademark and now it's not ours.
Yeah. That thing's wide open. If you have a Mac URL, like Mac Rumors, that's
exactly.
Go. Yeah.
And he said, I am not going to let that happen with iPod.
Huh. Interesting.
And that's, you know, if you ask me, that's why we moved to iOS instead of, you know, and we're going to move to iOS. Sooner or later, the Mac OS is going to go away. I would imagine that, you know, we're probably not going to have MacBooks. You know,
really?
Most,
wow.
It's just my guess.
I see it progressing, but I always see a need for the Mac in some capacity, unless we can start getting file cut on like 20-inch iPads, then I'm all set for iOS world, you know. Until that happens, I still want my Final Cut 10, you know.
Yeah, all you need is the iPad to become a little more powerful graphically, and you know, you've got AirPlay. You
That's
know,
true, yeah.
And so it's, you could. You know, there are, I am sure there is a lab somewhere where they've got, you know, an external monitor for an iPad, and you're probably using the iPad as the control deck, and the video is on screen.
Yeah, I'm excited towards this future. I mean, because when the Mac goes away, what that tells me is the iOS and the iPad and all that kind of stuff is going to be so powerful that we might not miss it as much as we think we will.
Yeah, I don't think we will. I think, you know, right now it's the only problem that we have is that the apps aren't there to really turn the iPad into more of a creation tool. I mean, there's a lot of it there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all apps. I mean, And I mean, the OS is getting there. All that kind of stuff's, you know, getting a lot better. And even the hardware, one of my claims of fame, I was tech memed for this article I wrote for App Advice about, I basically did an iMovie speed test, just exporting some video. I recreated the same project pretty much on all the different Macs and the iOS devices out at the time. I think the iPad 2 just came out. And to my surprise, iPad 2 was beating out pretty much every Mac available except for like the 17-inch MacBook Pro. Just on, because it's got all the onboard video encoders that actually sped up the process more than I would have thought. And perhaps iMovie was a little bit bloated on the Mac. But anyways, it's the encoding is pretty good on iOS, surprisingly.
Nice.
App Store, as a developer, are you liking what you've been seeing so far? Do you have Mac apps in there at all, or not? Are you more of an iOS guy right now?
I do have a small utility app in there right now. It was an itch that I needed to scratch, so I scratched it and you know, released it. But that said, you know, I kind of do feel like I'm more of an iOS developer, but I think that, you know, there's still room for Mac apps. And if the right project came along, I wouldn't hesitate to do a Mac, you know, version of the app. And there are a couple things rattling around in my head right now that may or may not end up as a Mac app.
Yeah. Personally, have you moved most of your apps on the Mac to the Mac App Store? Or are you still living mostly in the wild Safari download an app and use it world?
I think kind of a hybrid. Given a choice between App Store or, you know, downloading it from a website, I generally lean towards App Store, mostly because the upgrade procedure is a lot more flawless and I don't have to, you know, keep track of which apps updated and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I know auto update mechanisms and Sparkle and all that good stuff, but it's a whole lot easier just to, you know, click one button and download all the updates. And so for me, it's a lot more seamless and I don't have to think about it as much.
Yeah.
So I kind of prefer the App Store when it comes to that.
Yeah. Once Mountain Lion hit, I came upon this realization that, I should probably move everything to the Mac App Store because that's where we're headed. So over the past few days, I've basically cleared out all my junk apps I didn't really use and found replacements for the ones I did in the Mac App Store. I'm down to like 5 apps that aren't in the Mac App Store, and I'm getting so close to being able to just have everything there. And it's brilliant because I have a work computer. I'm able to download one-off apps. And the really cool thing with iCloud is, eventually, once these apps are iCloud, backup will not really be as necessary because it just will all be in your app database for that, you know, iCloud backup there.
Well, yeah, we hope.
We hope. Yeah.
You know, that's the dream. Honestly, it's a great dream. You know, I love the concept. I love the idea. If you look at sort of what Apple's doing with iCloud, the big limiter on all of these mobile devices is memory, you know?
Oh, sure.
And so now all of a sudden, all of your data is somewhere where you don't even have to think about it, and you've got constant access to that. You know, the downside, though, is that there are areas of the world, like, you know, right where I am right now, my home, where my signal on my phone isn't that good. So all of a sudden now you're in a situation where maybe you want to access that data and you can't. And I think that that's going to be an issue until, you know, connectivity becomes ubiquitous. And mm-hmm. as much as Apple wants to pretend that, you know, our devices are always on and always connected, they're not. And
the interesting thing with iCloud, though, is it seems that everything's local, but it's up in the cloud as well.
Right. And you know, Apple's done a great job to try and mitigate sort of that problem, that connectivity problem. But, you know, let's say you're doing some work on your Mac. Excuse me. Doing some work on your Mac and you save the document, throws it up to the cloud. you get to somebody's office where you want to show that presentation that you did on your Mac, and you pull it up and you've got no signal.
Yeah, that's or your iPad, which is a Wi-Fi only device or something.
Right. And so now, you know, now it doesn't matter if it's local storage, because it's local storage right now on your Mac, because your iPad or your iPhone just hasn't had a chance to access it.
Yeah, and it won't access it until you launch the app, to my knowledge.
Exactly.
That's another issue. It's like, you can have all the bandwidth you need, but when you actually load up the app, do you have the bandwidth to do it?
Right.
Yeah. And then another thing for me is the big question, like, I do a lot of video editing. That stuff, it'll be like a decade before we move that to the cloud. For me, it's like, I most of the time I just trash my projects after I finish them, and they just live in YouTube as an HD copy that I can download if I want to in the future, sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, Google has this vision of the future where everything is a web app, and I think video editing is a perfect example of why we will never be all web apps. Yeah, you know, the latency is so much, and the bandwidth is so high that there's just no way that at least in the foreseeable future that we'll be able to do that.
We don't all have the Google Fiber with the terabyte of Google Drive.
Right.
Yeah, that'll be a long time before that happens. But the one thing I really want Apple to solve at some point is iPhoto and Aperture having iCloud libraries, so I could pay for 50 gigs of storage and have a 50 gig library up there, and it syncs between my iOS app and my Macs, and I don't have to worry about it. Because that's right. A big issue for me, because photos are the thing I lose the most that aggravate me, because it always fills up my hard drives, and I just don't have any room to put them anywhere. And one thing I was wondering, do you know much about the development stuff with iCloud? I had this app idea of an iDisk kind of app for iCloud, where you're able to just throw any document in there and it just syncs between your devices. Is that something Apple would ever approve, you think, with just being it that open-ended?
Boy, I don't know. You know, basically you're sort of talking about using iCloud for what Dropbox does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know if Apple would approve that or not. I don't know why they wouldn't, but several of my app submissions lately have come back with very strange reasons why they've been rejected, and so it's hard to say. It's really hard to say.
Goodreader's almost there, but they don't have a Mac client, so it doesn't really help me that much. Like, you can throw whatever you want in the iCloud part of Goodreader, and it's ready to go.
Right. Well, one of the things about iCloud that I think is going to be a real Achilles heel is the fact that it's not cross-platform. And I know that, you know, Apple wants us to live in an all-Apple world, but there are people that have Windows PCs. You know, there are people that use Android and have a Mac. You know, they use an Android phone and have a Mac. So when you start thinking about everything on iCloud, you're basically cutting all of those people out. And also, there's no web API to sort of access that data either. So,
I work as the special access that no one else has, which is...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And maybe that stuff's coming. Maybe it's not. I don't know. You know, Apple likes to, you know, they've got their walled garden. They like it. And, you know, for the most part, it's really, really nice for everybody concerned. But, you know, you get those edge cases where you're going, well, you know, what about this? And I think that's a problem. I know for my app, Yowza, we've got an Android version. And while, you know, thinking about moving some of that to iCloud makes sense for us on the iPhone app, you know, there's nothing that makes sense about it from an Android point of view.
Oh, sure.
So it makes it very, very difficult to try and do that. And, you know, I there are a lot of developers out there who make a very nice living making just, iOS or Mac OS software. But the second you introduce any sort of like enterprise level thinking. You know, if you take funding for your company, for example, if you have investors, now they want you to think about, you know, as many users as possible, which mm-hmm. means you start thinking about Android. It means you have to start thinking about Windows Phone, and when you start doing that, iCloud just doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah, that's where Dropbox would make more sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's an interesting world we live in because Apple is moving us towards this direction, and it's a really fun direction if you're all into that kind of stuff. It's really difficult if you're one step in and one step out, though.
Yeah, you know, on a personal level, you know, I love I'm an all Apple guy, you know, but I have to think about the people that aren't. That's where it gets.
Personally, have you like one thing I did when Mountain came out was I went through my entire hard drive and saw what stuff can go in the apps for iCloud. So my hard drive is so bare right now because I moved everything in the text edit or pages or whatever that may be. Have you done that? Or are you keeping your folder hierarchy that you've been using in the past?
I have done that a little bit. There are just, you know, a lot of the files that I work with on a day-to-day basis just don't have an iCloud analog for them. I mean, there's, you know, Xcode files or you know, Photoshop files or that kind of thing. Right.
You know, do you think Xcode will, I mean, it seems like Xcode will be it seems like a no-brainer for Apple to do that. Or are the files too big for that to happen? Or what do you think there?
It all comes down to just the capabilities of the device. And I think right now, the iPad probably is not quite ready for that. And also there's got to be a huge amount of development time on Apple's part in order to make that happen. I mean, you know, they're constantly working on Xcode for the Mac. And I am sure they're probably working on Xcode for iPad, but you know, that's not something that just you just hit a button and it compiles.
Right. Yeah. For the Mac. But from an iCloud perspective, how cool it would be if you have like a laptop and a desktop computer as a developer and you just hop on one and you're ready to go with iCloud, you know.
Flip. And even, you know, even better, you know, right now, you know, Apple's got the simulator. So, you know, I fire up Xcode and I want to, and I'm working on an iPad app and I run it in an iPad simulator. How awesome would it be if I just had the iPad and hit run? It launched it right there. And, you know, to me, that would be fantastic. And we'll
still have to use USB cables to kind of load it on as the simulator, right? Like that you load up the actual app into the iPad, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, once we get there, that'll just be fantastic, and we'll be able to start thinking about, you know, moving those kind of things there. I wish, you know, on my day-to-day kind of way I work, I could put more stuff in iCloud, but I can only do so much.
Yeah. Of the apps that you do use on the Mac, do any of them not qualify for the Mac App Store? Kind of apps are you using that you found, oh, that'll never make it into that app store?
That's an interesting question. I don't know that I'm using anything. I don't think that I'm using anything that really wouldn't qualify for the Mac App Store. I really can't think of anything off the top of my head. Sure that there are, but I just can't think of anything that I use on a regular basis that wouldn't qualify, because I don't have a lot of anything that uses a lot of UI customization in terms of, you know, diddling with things that shouldn't be diddled with
I've just got one of those that just like will never make it there. It's a bartender. It puts all your menu bar icons into a little folder thing, so you can have like 100 menu bar icons and it's not all cluttered up top. Only thing I use that's would be banned.
What was the little strip on Mac OS like 7 or 9 or whatever it was? the it wasn't control panel. It had a name, but it was like that. You had all these little apps that ran in there, and you clicked on it, and it slid out and showed you, and you could click on the app. And
Apple should totally rip off Bartender because it's a great app. Because it's so annoying when you have too many menu bar icons, it's just like, oh, they disappear. It's like, that's not very Apple-like.
Today, Panic, what was it, today or yesterday, where they announced that they are no longer, that they handed off ownership of Candy Bar to Icon Factory, and Icon Factory said, you know, we'll do minor updates and all of that, but we're not, since we don't know where Apple is going and where we're, if we're going to be able to make this make sense, it's sort of dead in the water, which is too bad because Candy Bar was very, very cool for somebody who liked to customize the look and feel of their Mac.
Yeah, and is that one that's currently in the App Store, and then sandboxing will kind of kill it, sort of?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. I'm curious about the sandboxing thing. So I have Text Expander in the Mac App Store. It can't be updated. I'm curious if there will be enough of these that are just there that can't be updated that Apple will kind of rethink this and have perhaps a higher scrutiny level for apps that need total access. You're going to go through a lot of nitpicky stuff to see if your app really is useful to have entire system access.
You know, the thing is that if Apple would eat their own dog food on this, you know, they would realize that it's not a good solution. But they use all their special access to things to bypass all that stuff. I mean, when I go into Xcode, it asks me one time, you know, can Xcode from now on forever to do this action? And you type in your password and make it done. Developers don't have access to that. There's a lot of the sandboxing stuff that would be a lot better if Apple actually used it themselves. Not.
Yeah, one thing I was surprised to find the Mac App Store is Piezo, where I bought that last week to replace Audio Hijack Pro, which isn't in the Mac App Store. Basically, it hijacks apps and records its audio. And It's amazing it's in the Mac App Store, because I thought, no way you could do that. But, I mean, there are some pretty powerful apps in there. I mean, Boinks TV is another example of, this is a pretty powerful app. It's in the Mac App Store.
Well, Apple's, at least with iOS, and I'm sure it's the same with the Mac App Store. But once an app is in there and Apple changes its requirements, they tend to leave that app there unless it's doing something very nefarious. Mm-hmm. Now, at one point in time, I think it was between iOS 2 and iOS 3, they basically started pulling out the older apps, started making them go away. But right now, the apps won't be rejected for sandboxing unless you actually submit a new version that doesn't have sandboxing.
Right, yeah. And that's why we have so many apps that will now be just there but end of life, which I'm glad they're still there, because I personally would rather have Text Expander there and just an old version rather than not there at all.
And actually, you just said Text Expander, so there's one that with sandboxing I will not be able to get from the Mac App Store.
Yeah, I bought the old version from the Mac App Store, but yeah, it's end of life pretty much as far as updates. It'll have what it has now, but that's it.
And I think, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm just guessing, maybe the Dropbox app.
Yeah, I know Dropbox isn't in the Mac App Store. Either is Skype, oddly. Microsoft hasn't seen it necessary for them to submit that to Apple yet.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's some odd apps. There's apps that are if they wanted to be in the App Store, they could be. I actually emailed the Levelator folks and see if they could, submit it to the App Store. So, I'm going to see if that can actually come to pass, because it's a really handy utility for just, getting audio sounding good. But so hopefully they'll do that as well. As far as iCloud stuff, are you using most of it? I mean, are you switching over to its email and things like that?
Oh, yeah, that's been done for so long that I can't.
Because you were you a Mobile Me user before that? Have you always been in the kind of the Apple web services?
Yeah. One of my, you know, prior to getting involved in Mac development, I had a website called .mac.info, and it was a community site for .mac members. And, you know, we had close to, I don't know, 100,000 members of .mac.info. You know, Apple, they loved me. I was one of their heroes, the .mac team. You know, I was on, you know, first name basis with a lot of people on the .mac team because of that. So I've been involved in the various incarnations, all the way from iTools, you know, all the way to now. And
wow. And then, yeah, I was a couple months ago. I got this G4 Cube, and I had a mission of installing every version of OS 10 that would run on it. So I had like a 7 or 8 partition of it, and it was hilarious booting in the like 10.1 or whatever, because it asks you to sign up for iTools when you first boot up. So I tried to sign up for iTools or whatever, and then it's like it just kept on spinning because there was no server to talk to anymore.
Well, and you know, with mobile and the transition and all of that, I am, you know, because I'm a developer, I have early access to all of the OS builds and all of that stuff. And so by the time something actually becomes official and out, I've kind of forgotten that it's new. And that's sort of what happened with iCloud, because, you know, my mail has been on iCloud for forever. I've been using Messages for forever. I mean, all of the stuff that, you know, is sort of new in Mountain Lion, it's kind of old hat to me, which is too bad because I, you know.
It gets rid of the fun. Like, I do the betas as well for most of the stuff. And on launch day, it's like, I've had this. It used to be buggy, now it's really good.
I've been fighting with builds of iOS 6 on my iPhone, and they just released iOS.
The beta 4, yeah.
And I like that so much better.
It's really solid now, actually. I mean, and also the update process. You don't have to restore your phone anymore to get from iOS 5 to 6 for the betas and stuff. You can just update.
Amazing. And the update rate for iOS is just incredible. I mean, generally, I think right now the average is about 75% of the people upgrade in less than 3 months. I mean, that's just astounding. And that's, you know, that's the upgrade percentage from iOS 4 to 5. So 5 with automatic updates is just going to be unbelievable. And the crazy thing is,
because you have all the people on 4 that never went to 5. If you have so many people on 5, it'll be so much easier for them to update.
Right. And yeah. The crazy thing is, and I read this shortly after WWDC, but, you know, iOS 6, the beta, was released at WWDC for developers. And developers, to have access to that, have to pay $100. So there's that hurdle. It's really only for developers only. You know, there's no real good reason for, you know, somebody on the street to go run it unless they're really, really.
Yeah, I mean, passcode, a lot of the stuff, it's not really active yet.
So you've got a very limited audience to the number of people who are actually going to install iOS 6. But within 2 weeks of WWDC and the release of iOS 6, no, I'm sorry, it was within 48 hours. Within 48 hours, there was a higher adoption rate of iOS 6 on iPhone than there was Android 4.0 on the Android platform. And Android 4.0.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
8 months. So 8 months versus 48 hours. That's just crazy.
Yeah. It's a different world. It really is for updating iPhones. Something kind of interesting to note, I've got an original iPhone running the iOS 1.0.1 still. And
nice.
I've got this like museum. I try to keep at least one hardware on one version of the OS. So I've got all the old OSs still. But I loaded up the YouTube app, and I noticed it doesn't work anymore because YouTube changed their protocols. And also Safari, YouTube embeds, don't work anymore because those are updated as well for some new code. So these devices do eventually, with like stuff like YouTube, get obsoleted in enough time. So yeah.
anytime you're talking to a web server, you run the risk of that web server changing its protocols.
Exactly. Yeah.
If the person who wrote the app owns those protocols, like Apple loves to do, they change that stuff all the time. That's why they don't. Some of the stuff public is that gives them the opportunity to keep iterating.
Yeah, exactly. So with the iCloud stuff, are you able to fit everything into that 5 GB free account, or have you gone beyond that?
I have not gone beyond that yet. I'm sure that I will.
Yeah. I'm curious if shared photo streams count towards that, because it seems like a loophole of storing all your photos in iCloud for free.
I think somebody needs to like figure out how you can store great big huge files with a JPEG extension, and then
yeah, that'd be great. Oh man, thank you so much for your time today. This has been great. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
Well, my company right now is Yowza. It's mobile coupons for the iPhone, and you can find that at getyowza.com. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at August at Twitter, and yeah, it's an exciting time to be a Apple developer. That's for sure. And by Apple, I mean Apple product developer, whether it's iOS or Mac. And there's so many exciting things. And yeah, we can sit there and kind of grouse about some of the details. But for the most part, it's all fantastic, scary good stuff. And I'm really excited.
One thing I forgot to mention with Yowza, Passbook, is that something you guys could use at all, or is that something you guys are excited about?
You know, it's one of those things where we're definitely looking at it. But it makes us nervous.
Oh, because it might get rid of, yeah. You'll be Sherlocked. You're worried about perhaps.
I've already done that once. when Apple introduced, podcasting into iTunes, Dan Wood and I had a beer together.
Yeah. Oh.
But yeah, you know, we're excited about that. We're also a bit nervous about it. So we'll see how all that shakes out.
Yeah, it's interesting because it sounds like it works with apps, but it pulls everything into one app. Like, get the app installed plus, I don't know, it's a weird kind of like duality thing they have going there.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, thanks again for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, that was the interview I had with August Trometer. Once again, you can find him on Twitter at August, and also over at getyowza.com, and just search for Yowza in the App Store and you'll find it. So thanks again to August Trometer for his time today. I hope to have him back for future interviews, things like that. And with that said, thanks for tuning in to iWake, and I'll be back tomorrow for another interview. You can find more episodes over at iWakePodcast.com, and also make sure to check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/TCHATEN, where I post iWake videos as well as many other things there. And finally, if you're into the scripts for the Daily Show that I normally do, you can get those now as part of the iWake Again membership. So that's iWakePodcast.com/again for all the info there. With that said, I will talk to everyone again tomorrow. Have a great, great day. Aloha.